Deuteronomy chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The fifth commandment from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 reads like this. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We are busy going through the book of Exodus. We've come to chapter 20, where we are in the process of looking at God's Ten Commandments. We come tonight to the fifth commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I have before me a little magazine, and in this magazine there's an article called They Want My Country. And it lists something like 38 goals that the communists have drawn up to overtake a country. And certainly they are relevant to our own land at this time. I'd like to read three or four of them to you. First one I want to read says this, Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Another one of the goals says this, Gain control of all student newspapers. Another one of the goals says this, Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Another goal says this, Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Another goal, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Another goal, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a, inverted commas, religious crutch. And then yet the other goal, and the main one that I want to bring to your attention tonight, is this one. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. And against this mentality which is creeping into our world today comes the unequivocal voice of God through his word, which says, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now there is no compromise on that commandment, as there is no compromise on any of the others. It is too amazing how many people take that one and the fourth one very lightly, while all the rest they take rather seriously. Very few people in our community today would dream of going about killing, but nevertheless they would quite blandly ignore the Sabbath day, and many, many people today live in direct violation of the fifth commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother. But the same God that said, thou shalt have no other gods but me, the same God that said, thou shalt not kill, the same God that said, thou shalt not commit adultery, the same God that said, thou shalt not bear false witness, the same God that said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, also says, honor thy father and thy mother. And he takes that command and he puts it into the table which we have now known for many, many centuries as the Ten Commandments. Now there are three aspects of this commandment that I want to draw to your attention this evening. And the first is this, that the fifth commandment is not concerned only with our personal relationships within our family circles, but it also encompasses the whole vast spectrum of our attitude toward authority in general. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, don't turn it up, you can jot it down if you like, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul refers to the signs of the times. And one of the signs of the times listed by the Apostle, one of the great evils of the age when men and women have rejected God, one of the great signs of moral and spiritual degeneracy is disobedience to parents. When you get home, you can read it for yourself. In the last couple of verses of Romans chapter 1 and the opening verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul puts his finger on one of the great crimes of the age, which does not receive all that much newspaper exposure, but which nevertheless is viewed in a very serious light by Almighty God, and that is dishonoring of parents. Well, now, the interesting thing that I discovered this past week was this, that the Greek word which is translated by the Apostle Paul as disobedience literally means unpersuadable. And it denotes an obstinate rejection of the will of God. And the same apostle who uses that word to describe the disobedient attitude of children to parents uses the same word in Ephesians chapter 2 when he describes the disobedience of the human race to Almighty God. In other words, the same spirit that takes a man or a woman when they rebel against their parents is the spirit that takes them when they rebel against God. And our attitude to our parents and to all in authority, in fact, as you will see, denotes our attitude in essence to Almighty God. The spirit of rebellion and disobedience and dishonoring of parents is a symbol in embryo form of the worldwide phenomena of rebellion against all authority. You must know for yourself as intelligent people that those who dishonor their parents will also have no respect for those elderly people who live and walk in our midst in these days. It's not only young people who rule the world, it's become a young person's world. The whole of the marketplace is geared to the young. Almost the whole of the record industry and the film industry is aimed at the young. Almost the whole wide world of finance is an economics and industries aimed at the young person all the time, almost to the exclusion of the elderly. And it is quite true to say that once a man or woman has gotten to the habit of dishonoring his own mother and father, why, for what reason, should he ever show respect to anyone else who has gone on in years? And there are many of the elderly people whom God exhorts us to treat as mothers and fathers by virtue of their gray hairs. And right throughout the scripture, and especially in the opening books of the Bible, you will discover that God places a great premium on the dignity of old age. And all you need to do is read the book of Proverbs, and you'll find words like these, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. But the same spirit that dishonors mother and father will find expression in dishonoring old age wherever it is found. And then, friends, it is only a short step to dishonor national authorities, kings and rulers and magistrates. All of these people God has raised up. It's not man who raises up a ruler, a prime minister, a king, a governor. It is God who raises up one and brings down another. That is the clear teaching of the scripture. And irrespective of how we may disagree, and irrespective of how we may abhor certain of the policies of our government or any other government, nobody has got any right to treat anybody in authority with disrespect. Not if you name the name of Christ and you claim him as your personal savior. And all you need to do, my friend, is do what all of us have to do. Get on our knees with our Bibles opened at Romans chapter 13 and call upon God to help us to understand that if Paul could write to the Roman Christians in his day concerning a pagan government and say that you are to honor them, for they are God's servants, even though they don't know it, how much more shouldn't we, with the great privileges that we have in this country, at least respect those in authority while we have the privilege of disagreeing with them? And if you can disagree, you've got the right to go to the polls. And my dear friends, while it is right that we all have an opinion, and while it is right that sometimes we're allowed to voice that opinion, sometimes it's not allowable to voice an opinion. And especially those who name the name of Christ, they are exhorted to set an example to the people who sit in the pews by their attitude toward all of those in authority. Even the Christians behind the Iron Curtain honor their authorities as authorities. They abhor their practices. They abhor their policies. But so long as a policy does not transgress your Christian conscience, God exhorts you to honor those who are put in authority above you. The moment anybody tells you to do something that goes against the clear teaching of his word, then of course you honor God first. God always first. But I tell you that once you've begun to dishonor your parents, it's not long before you begin to dishonor the aged. And then it's not a long step for you to take to dishonor those who are in authority, whether that's national authorities, whether it's provincial authorities, whether it's municipal authorities, or whether it's just the authority that you have at work amongst those who are beneath you or above you. And I want to say to you that from there on, it's just one short step to ignore your spiritual fathers in the faith and your spiritual mothers in the faith. Right throughout the scriptures, God gives certain guidelines by which the Christians are expected to conduct themselves. And God says that pastors and ministers are eligible for double honor. That is what the scripture says. I'm not arguing for myself, my friends. I'm talking about something that is widespread amongst the people of God. This is what the scripture says. Know them which labor among you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That is what the scripture says. But the man who dishonors his mother and father certainly will not respect his spiritual leaders. The same spirit that rebels against the authority in the home is going to rebel against the authority in the church. The same spirit that rebels against the authority in the home is going to rebel against the authority of the state, even though God says to Timothy, pray first for kings and rulers, and then for everybody else that you want to pray for. That is what the Word of God actually says. And then I want to tell you, it's not very easy, once you've got the spirit of disobedience in your heart, to become dishonorable to your employers. The scripture says, servants, be subject to your masters, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. Be subject to them. Honor them for who they are. And remember that God has placed a long list of authorities in this world so that we can live in an orderly fashion. And so I say to you that this commandment not only has effect in the realm of personal family relationships, but it also takes in the whole attitude toward authority in general. You show me the man who is rebellious against his parents, who has ceased for many years to honor them, and I'll show you a man who dishonors Almighty God in his heart. You show me a man who has no time for his aging parents, and I'll show you a man who will never progress in the spiritual life. You show me a man who despises his mother and his father when the hairs begin to turn gray, and I'll show you a man who will come to the gates of heaven and find them barred against him. For a man who cannot submit, a woman who cannot submit, a young person who cannot submit to the authority of mother and father in the home, will never take that rebellious heart and submit it to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, He is Lord. You can sing it with all your heart here in church, but it'll never be a reality until you learn to master yourself with God's help in your own family circle. Now, the next thing I want to point out to you concerning this commandment is that it definitely indicates certain attitudes that we are to have toward our parents. Your attitude toward your parents, as I said and I repeat, reflects your attitude toward Almighty God. And the Word of God teaches us that we are to have an inward respect for our parents. There should be an inward reverencing of our parents, an inward respect for them, an inward heartfelt esteem for them, just because they are who they are. They are to be loved by us with all our hearts, deep down inside, a genuine love for those whom God has given to us to be our parents. The Word of God also indicates that we are to be careful about how we speak to them. How do you speak to your mother, my dear friend? How do you speak to your father? How do you address them? Is there a casual, unbecoming familiarity about your words? Then rest assured that attitude will be carried over in your prayers to Almighty God. What is your attitude toward your mother and your father? And the way you address them? Are you impatient and curt and rude to them? Are you obstinate and rebellious against them? Do you find a loathing in your heart for them? How do you speak to your mother and your father? And now let me ask you, how do you speak about your mother and your father? When you talk of them to your friends and you share little secrets with those who are near to you, what sort of respect is revealed in your speech concerning your mother and your father? Do you remember the story of Joseph? How that although his brothers sold him into Egypt, under God's providence he rose to become a mighty man and the chief ruler in Egypt except for Pharaoh himself. And then there came a time when he had occasion to meet his aged father again, from whom he had been separated for many a year. The old man who had mourned the death of his son, now old and poverty stricken, no food to eat. And he came with his pathetic belongings into Egypt at Joseph's bequest. And he came into Egypt, and there the scripture says, when Joseph, rich and powerful, and now somebody in a position of great authority, when he saw his old and aged parent, now poverty stricken in his old age, the scripture says, he humbled himself before him. And the Word of God says this, cursed. Listen to that word. Cursed is he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And then God's word exhorts us to respect that advice. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Isn't it interesting that last night on the front page of our newspaper should be the story of the tragedy of that yacht that went missing somewhere off the coast of Somalia? Now they're taken prisoner and nobody knows what will happen to them. And the young girl involved from Cape Town went onto that boat against her mother's wishes. And the Word of God says, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's what it says. You defy your father, you defy your mother. My dear friends, you take the law into your own hands. Rest assured you'll do it spiritually. And as surely as you do it spiritually, so the rod of God, any command which is ungodly, and any command that transgresses our Christian conscience. But I wonder how many young people here tonight can honestly look their mother and their father in the face and say, well, I haven't been perfect. I haven't been all you wanted me to be, but I've done my best and I honor you for helping me. I wonder how many of you young folks sitting here tonight must go home tonight with a conscience stained and blushing. And you must say to yourself as you fall at your bedside tonight, oh God, I've broken this law. I have violated the great command. I'm weighed in those balances tonight and I'm found wanting. And then the scripture indicates that we are to provide for our parents in their old age. Some of you have already commented on a comment that I've made once or twice from this pulpit concerning the habit that has taken hold of our Western society today
to take their old people and shove them into old age homes. I believe that the old age home is a very wonderful institution in some ways, and it's a curse and a blight upon our society in other ways, because it provides uncaring children with an excuse to palm off their responsibilities to their parents when they get old and feeble and too weak to look after themselves. Always in the scriptures, you will find that God expects the children to care for the parents. Always in the scriptures, you'll find that God expects the children to take the parents into their arms, into their hearts in their old age, and gently escort them to the grave. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, in his dying moment on the cross, cared for his mother, and as he lay there hanging in agony, hung there hanging in agony, he turned to his disciple John, and he said to John, "Behold your mother." John, look after her. Put your arm around her. Keep her near to your heart, John. Look after her. She was blessed of God. She brought the Messiah into the world. And I say to you, my friends, that you have no right, not if you're a Christian, no right whatsoever to palm off your Christian responsibility to your old people by getting them out of the way. Now, obviously, that's a comment that needs to be qualified. And obviously, there are certain circumstances and situations where we can't have the old people in the home. Sometimes they become senile, and it's almost impossible in this modern society with its rush and its hustle to care for them adequately, and they need special care. Sometimes the old people elect to go into a home or an institution of some sort rather than be a burden to their children. And I want to say to you that when your mother and father begin to interfere in your marriage, then they lose their right to be honored by you. When they begin to cause trouble in the home, and after all of your exhortations, and after all of your disciplining, and after all of your Christ-like godly attempts to keep harmony in the home, then I say to you that it's necessary for you to see that they are housed elsewhere. But special circumstances accepted as a general principle for the Christian population, you and I have no right to shirk our responsibility toward our old people. Honor thy father and thy mother, says the scripture. Why? Because then your days will be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is the first commandment with promise, the Apostle Paul says. Here is a wonderful blessing attached to this commandment. You won't find this blessing attached to any other commandment. But God, in his sovereign purposes, his love and compassion for those who are aged, who have lived their lives, and many of them have done great things for God, prayed dozens of souls into the kingdom, witnessed and helped and gone through the burden and the heat of the day, and now coming to the sunset years of their life, God places a great importance upon them and says, "You care for your old people, and I'll give you a reward. I will grant you many days in the land which the Lord your God shall give thee." You want long life and a happy life and the best of this world's provisions? Here is the promise. Care for your old people. Isn't it interesting that God placed this promise on such an act that we should care for our old people? Now I want to mention something else, and it's this. There are certain reasons why children often dishonor parents. And I want to outline some of these reasons for you tonight, because I believe that very often, while I stand by everything I've said tonight, there are certain circumstances where my sympathy does not go to the parent, but it goes to the child. I believe that there are times when children just blatantly refuse to honor their parents, not because of the inner rebellion of the heart that's there in all of us, but because in many occasions parents do not deserve the honor of their children. I believe that one of the times when children cease to honor their parents, and when there is a justifiable reason for it, although they are still to see God's face and still to give them the reverence that is their due, is when there are bad husband and wife relationships. How do you expect your child to honor your husband when you don't honor him? How do you expect your child to treat your wife with respect when you don't treat her with respect? How do you expect your children to grow up to honor you when you don't honor each other and respect each other in your own home? And some of you may have seen that little report in last night's newspaper giving us the latest index of figures, the statistics, telling us that now 25% of South African marriages land on the rocks. One in four, my friends, go to the divorce court. And you just think of that for a moment. Long before that marriage has gone to the divorce court, you think of the bickering, you think of the arguing, you think of all of the things that have gone before. You think of the words said that you wish you could retract. You think of the cursing and the swearing and the insults hurled at each other in front of the children. No wonder your children grow up despising you and calling you a hypocrite and superficial and shallow and say to you, "Are you going to church again?" No wonder they do it. When husbands and wives have never learned to stand by each other and to honor each other and to put their marriage onto the right, on the right principles, the right basis, the outlines that God has given in His Word. And I believe that many, many marriages go awry because husbands and wives have never learned their place in the home. And God has been quite categorical when He said that the husband is to be the head of the home and the wife is to submit herself to the husband. And I stand by that because it is God's work and it's needed by us psychologically. We all know it. We want it. That's the way we want it. But many problems arise because the man is not the head of the home. There's a story told of a king of a little obscure country who had a disagreement with his prime minister on one occasion. For the prime minister said to him that almost every man living in the world, a married man living in the world, is affected by his wife's opinions in some way or another. The king couldn't believe that, for he was a bachelor. He said, surely the men have got enough gumption to stand up for themselves. He said, I'm going to take a test. So he called every single married man in his domain to stand before him one day. And he said, I want you, under honor and under oath to me, your king, to be absolutely truthful in what you say. If your wife rules the roost at home, I want you to step to the right. And if your wife doesn't rule the roost, if you don't pay much attention to her opinions, and you, your own boss, I want you to stand to the left. And almost as one man, the whole mass of them stood to the right. And there was just one lone man who stepped to the left. The king looked at him, absolutely staggered at this huge crowd standing on his right. And this one lone man standing on the left, he said, I am glad there is one man capable of self-determination. I want you to stand up, my man, and to tell these people why you stand alone. And the man replied, Sire, before I left the house tonight, my wife gave me strict instructions to avoid crowds. But when the marriage relationship is not based upon the Word of God, I believe that the children begin to despise you for what you are. And there's another reason why children despise their parents, and that is because there is no spiritual instruction in the home. Do you know how many people who are converted refuse to have family prayers because they're too embarrassed? I wonder if you have family prayers in your home. What sort of a Christian are you if you allow your family, your children, to grow up uninstructed? That's the way they grow, uninstructed, except for the initiative that mother takes. Father, are you taking your family through the Bible? Are you teaching them the great truths? You young people, are you exerting an influence for godliness in your home? Mothers, do they see the Lord Jesus Christ in you? There's the story told of the little girl who came to her mother one day and pointed to the old Bible standing on the shelf and said, Is that God's book? And she said, Yes. The little girl said, Then why not send it back to Him? We never use it. And I wonder if that's true of your home. Here is God's book. And you might have two or three translations of it lying around the house. But it's never opened up at a family altar. And there's never any instruction for your young ones. No wonder they look at you trekking off to church and snigger behind your back. And I believe there's another reason why children often disobey and dishonor their parents. And that's because there's no parental authority or discipline. The Word of God says, Thou shalt beat him. Did you hear that?
The word of God says, thou shalt beat him, referring to the child. Not tap him with a feather duster, but beat him. Not take your slip off and huff and puff like a steam locomotive coming into land, and grab him and give him one little light swipe. What an anticlimax. But to beat him, that's what the word of God says. Why? Beat him with the rod, not your hand. God never instructs you to use your hand. God always says use an instrument to chastise your child. Why? Because you will deliver his soul from hell. That is what it says. And I wonder how many children don't despise their parents because of inconsistency in the home. And how many homes haven't we gone into? And how many times don't we have to watch our own family relationships and see whether we are consistent in chastising our own two boys? I wonder how many of you chastise your children with your tongue by cursing and swearing at them, and that's as far as it gets, and they're laughing at you. And as the years go by, they grow up laughing at you and taking you lightly. I wonder how many of you play favorites with your children. The one will get a darn good thrashing, and the other one will be let off lightly if he does something wrong. And it's always the youngest, you know, that gets off lightly. You're always very firm with the eldest, but the youngest one, the lard lummocky, he's the one who grows up lightly trained. I want to tell you today that God expects you to keep your promises to your children and your threats. If you do that again, I'm going to smack you. He says, ha ha ha, look who's dogging. That's what your children are saying to you. And if he does it again, then you eat him. And you take the rod that you keep somewhere. You take that special plank that you keep somewhere. And you beat him on his posterior. God specially gave human beings a rounded posterior. Do you know why? So that you could teach your children to honor you as they grow up. Do you remember the story of Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3? Here was a priest of God, a holy man, a godly man, a man who was sincere in every respect of the word, but he had two sons. And these two sons were also priests. And they committed great, terrible things against the name of the Lord. They cheated the people. And they took advantage of the women who came to the temple to worship. And the women just loved it as well. And the whole picture in 1 Samuel chapter 3 is of a terrible, terrible, backslidden condition. And God says through little Samuel to Eli, he says, I'm going to bring terrible judgment upon your house, Eli. Why? Because your sons made themselves vile and you restrained them not. That's why. Oh, my friends, when last have you shown any warmth and affection to your children? Discipline is one thing. But what about taking them in your arms and letting them know that you care and that you love them? When last have you said to your little girl on your knee, honey, I love you. When last have you taken your little boy and said, gosh, I'm proud of you. When last have you let them feel something of the warmth of your heart and your love for them? And I believe that you and I lose our right to the honor of our children when our example in the home offends their tender consciences by our ungodly behavior. Here we are, professing to be Christians, and here are our homes, and our homes are threatened by ungodly behavior. And here we are talking about Jesus in church and singing all the hymns and dressing up nicely and climbing to our cars and coming off to the house of worship, and our children see nothing of it on the home front where it really counts. There's a story told of the great painter Leonardo da Vinci, who painted that famous painting you all know, The Last Supper. And when he was nearly finished his painting, a friend came to see it. And Leonardo da Vinci had painted Christ holding a chalice. And this was the most magnificent thing on the whole painting. It was an absolute masterpiece of artwork, this chalice. His friend came in and his eyes alighted immediately on the centerpiece in the picture. He said, that is a thing of exquisite beauty. That is going to make people fall on their knees in amazement. That is a masterstroke of artistic genius. And off he went. When he came back again, he discovered that his friend, the painter, Leonardo da Vinci, had taken his brush after much contemplation, had painted out that marvelous bit of artwork, and in its place had painted an ordinary, plain-looking chalice. His friend was astonished. He said to him, what do you do that for? You've robbed the world of a priceless treasure by taking that chalice out of the picture. And the artist's reply was this: I didn't want you to look at the cup. I wanted you to look only at Christ. My friends, I wonder if the time hasn't come for some of you to take the brush and start painting out some things in your home where the eyes have been fastened, and let the Lord Jesus Christ come through loud and clear to your young people. And listen to me, older parents who are here today, I believe that you forfeit your right to honoring, you forfeit your right to be honored when you interfere unnecessarily in your children's affairs. God's word says this: when a man and a woman get married, that the man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that cuts you out. Out. They don't ask for your opinions, don't give it. They don't want your advice, don't give it. You're out of the picture now. And I believe that many homes are broken up by unwise mothers and fathers clinging to their offspring long after their offspring have borne their own children, and cause strained relationships. Do you know that all the jokes and all the cartoons you see usually concern a man and his mother-in-law? Do you know why? Let me tell you why. Because you see, the man and his mother-in-law usually get on all right. So it's quite okay to make a joke about it. It's the daughter and her mother-in-law. That's where the trouble lies. And I want to tell you folk today that if you interfere in your children's lives, you lose, you forfeit your right to be honored and respected. Now I'm closing. And I want to close by saying this. It's all very well to honor authority. It's all very well to search our hearts and say, yes, we're going to honor our parents. But I want to ask you this. How about honoring God? Isn't he the father of everyone who comes to him by Jesus Christ? And he says this: if I am a father, where is my honor? And may I ask you what God has meant to you this past week? And how much you've honored him this past week in your personal relationships and in your attitude toward him? And do you know that every time your life betrays Jesus Christ, you dishonor God? And you are saying to him, yes, you are a father, but I'm not going to give you the honor that is your due. There is no way which a man or a woman can honor God in any greater way than by honoring his son. The man has seen me, said Jesus, he has seen the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit was given to glorify me, said Jesus, me. Make much of Jesus, and you make much of God. Love Jesus, and you love God. Keep him central, and you keep God central. I want to speak to every single person who's not a Christian in this audience tonight. Every time you hear a gospel message, and you come into this church and hear the challenge thrown into your face, and you feel the finger of God pointing at your heart and your conscience, and you walk out of this church rejecting Jesus Christ, you are dishonoring God. God. And I wonder how many Christians must say, well, my life hasn't been the epitome of dedication and consecration. I've been lax and lazy and negligent, been careless, irreverent in my whole attitude toward the Lord of heaven. And God says to you tonight, with a sob in his voice, as he said through the prophet Isaiah to his ancient people long ago, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Does he say that of you tonight, friend? As he looks at your home and your life and your attitude to work, as he looks at that rebellion in your heart against his son, I've nourished, I've brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. Will you join me in prayer? Oh God, somehow it always comes back to Jesus again.
No matter where we turn in your word, no matter where we look, what pages we turn to, it always comes back to Jesus. I want to ask that you will grant us a spirit of heart searching tonight. Not just a momentary moving of our minds and our emotions, but give to us the spirit of obedience. Obedience. So that we will hear your word, our Father in heaven, and adjust our lives accordingly. Help us to repent of our sin. Help us to cling all the more to the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh God, grant that we will see the moving of the Spirit in our lives in this coming week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one of us now and forever. Amen.